we're back. Auto Influence on Friday, April 26th, with all the automotive news headlines that you could ask for, all while celebrating a holiday that we think deserves to be a three-day weekend. But we'll get back to that in a few minutes. In the meantime, let's get down to the news. As we've reported time and time again, the decisions being made by Ford CEO Jim Hackett and the rest of Ford's management team have resulted in mixed perceptions, but certainly seem to be pointing the giant in the right direction. At least, that's the general consensus this week, with Ford stock jumping by more than 8% in extended trading on Thursday. This equates to an adjusted earnings per share of 44 cents versus the forecast of 27 cents per share, which might be just a flash in the pan. But how Ford has fared to date in 2019 differs significantly depending on the terms of assessment, and at this point, it's fair to say that their horizon seems to be lit more favorably than certain domestic competitors. While being interviewed by CNBC, Ford CFO Bob Shank shared his belief that, quote, "the ship is starting to turn after a lot of work on the fitness of the business, rethinking the product portfolio, and working on a number of alliances," end quote, while still acknowledging that they have a lot of work to do. Last week, we had reported on Jim Hackett's indication that Ford was pumping the brakes on their aggressive pursuit of autonomy. And while his statements might have been described as vague at best, implying that the race towards self-driving vehicles was being hindered more by weak infrastructure and demand than by OEM readiness, perception of Ford's strategy might have received some welcome refinement this week. Having announced last month the construction plans for a new Michigan plant dedicated to autonomous vehicles, it would seem that Ford was itching to go head-to-head against the likes of Tesla and Waymo. And with Marcy Klevorn, Ford's president of mobility, announcing that the company aims to have 100 self-driving vehicles on the road by the end of the year, it would seem that we should have digested Hackett's recent statement with more grains of salt. Klevorn went on to clarify that Ford is focusing on what they call complex miles, favoring congested urban areas and commuter routes rife with both traffic and construction delays. To date, they have chosen Miami and Washington, D.C. as their preferred test areas, with a third city to be added later this year. And Lincoln's president, Joy Filatico, went on record to Automotive News recently, acknowledging the company's decade-long recession-fueled identity crisis. But despite that acknowledgement and modest reductions to the company's global projections, an 11% jump in Q1 indicates some positive forward motion. Credited to the offering of more fresh, compelling products like the redesigned Navigator and Nautilus, Filatico conveyed a clear sense of the brand's strengths, describing Lincoln as a luxury boutique rather than a shopping mall. That said, it'll be interesting to observe the avenues in which Lincoln directs their energies in the next few years to come. Now, as of late, General Motors headlines might have lacked a sense of positivity, but a press conference held on Thursday included this announcement from CEO Mary Barra in regard to the Bowling Green, Kentucky plant responsible for manufacturing of the C8 mid-engine Corvette.
"So I am exceptionally pleased to announce that this morning,
this, of course, bodes well in terms of forecasting interest in the C8, but is also a welcome uptick in positivity of GM-centered news stories built around the employment opportunities being created. And the Chevy Traverse has received some refinement, at least in terms of powertrain options, with the decision to discontinue the 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder. This leaves the 3.6-liter V6 paired with a 9-speed automatic transmission as the sole option for the Traverse, besting the discontinued option by 53 horse with a modest reduction in torque rating. For those interested in the iconic Camaro, many 2018 models have now been made available with discounts of as much as 15%. While the official explanation dances around the annual desire of making room for new models, it is worth mentioning that the Camaro has been all but bested by Dodge muscle car offerings. That said, Chevy shows no signs of backing down and has reaffirmed that not only is the Camaro here to stay for the foreseeable future, but they intend to remain competitive. And speaking of discounts, GMC has made the decision to discount their Terrain SUV by as much as 18%. Extended to current non-GM owners and lessees in the U.S., the offer extends to non-base trim models with delivery taken by April 30th. Some of you might recall the Granite nameplate, an SUV concept first registered with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office back in 2009, then unveiled by GMC back in 2010, with no real forward motion after that. Now, GM has continued to re-register that name in 2010 and 2015 respectively, but has once more re-upped their interest in the name this month. Could the GMC Granite in some form be finally edging towards a debut after a decade of development? Only time will tell. But no, we mustn't dwell. No, not today. We can't. Not on Hemi Day!
You're fired.
That's right! Today, April 26th, is the annual celebration of all things Hemi and honors the debut of the 426 Hemi over 50 years ago. And to celebrate, Mopar has opened the floor for pre-orders of their 1,000-horsepower Helifant crate engine, which offers a heart-pounding 950 pound-foot of torque. Priced to start around $29,995, anyone interested in ordering or simply learning more can visit CrateHemi.com. Of all the various expansions and hiring waves we've reported on as of late, FCA's plans in Detroit rank among the most significant. With the planned fusion of two existing plants into a single Jeep assembly plant and modernization of another plant, FCA plans to invest $5.8 million towards the staffing of 4,950 positions which are being created. This is, of course, only part of the $13.8 million being invested into community improvements, education, and workforce training, which in turn is part of FCA's pending $2.5 billion plans in Detroit. Just a few minutes ago, we'd alluded to Chevy being bested by Dodge in the muscle car category. To be more specific, we're talking about the Challenger having overtaken the Camaro for the number two spot. And while the gap between the respective sales for each, along with the lead enjoyed by the Mustang, ebb and flow, this remains a great time to be part of what automotive pundits call an extremely emotional segment. But in our opinion, no one does a buzz model quite like Dodge, and we're still trying to calm down from the Stars and Stripe edition of the Challenger that we discussed last week. Factor in recent discussion of the RT Scat Pack widebody, and it's clear that no one is doing it better than Dodge in terms of inventing or reinventing genuinely organic throwbacks to a beloved and bygone era. It speaks to the passion so commonly associated with the muscle car community. In other words, if Chevy intends to remain competitive, they've got their work cut out for them. Over to Jeep.
Yes!
Last month's reveal of the 2020 Jeep Gladiator pricing, starting around $35,040 MSRP, has a lot of people eager for the formal release slated for midsummer. But qualified lessees might be interested in knowing that a base Gladiator Sport with a 6-speed manual transmission is available for a 2-year lease for as little as $143 a month with a $3,504 down payment. Of course, pricing and participation may vary, and higher trim levels like the Overland and Rubicon should be expected to fall in around the mid-$300 range. Now, Toyota's pursuit of a hydrogen-centric fuel cell future has now formally expanded into a desire for zero-emission trucking with the unveiling of their first FCET offering, a partnership between Toyota and tractor-trailer giant Kenworth. FCET, or Fuel Cell Electric Truck, is the culmination of a few years worth of testing, and this first model offers a 300-mile range with 10 trucks being deployed for use in the greater Los Angeles area. And Toyota has announced two separate recalls related to approximately 270 2019 Siennas and 43,000 Yaris liftback and hatchbacks made between 2015 and 2017. The Sierra recall surrounds a weld issue related to the passenger side front doors, which could trigger the airbag sensor, causing inadvertent deployment. The Yaris recall is based around the corrosion of the wire harnesses, which connect side airbag sensors to the airbag control unit and could cause similar issues. As always, those who think their vehicle might be included in the recall can log on to toyota.com/recall and enter their VIN number for confirmation. Since notifications will be sent out by mid-June, we're certainly suggesting that you get a jump on it. Over on the Lexus side, the 2020 RCF is about to make its big screen debut on June 14th, thanks to the release of Sony Pictures' Men in Black International. And while real-world consumers might not feel any compulsion to protect the Earth from the scum of the universe, it's hard not to appreciate the sleek design, best-in-class power-to-weight ratio, and 472 horsepower, courtesy of its efficient V8. You just gotta love a well-fitting automotive cross-marketing campaign. And Hyundai has announced their creation of a smartphone app, or as they call it, a smartphone electric vehicle pairing-based performance adjustment technology. Okay. Which allows Hyundai and Kia EV owners to control 7 sets of performance parameters right from their smartphone. Those 7 sets include ignition, maximum torque output, acceleration, top speed, deceleration responsiveness, regenerative braking, and climate control energy usage. With 23 EV offerings set for release by 2025, this certainly is timely connective technology. That said, there's no real timeline for a U.S. rollout or rollout in general. And having mentioned the appearance of the 2020 Lexus RCF on movie screens this summer, we'd be remiss if we didn't point out the appearance of the 528-horsepower Audi e-tron GT in this weekend's release of Avengers Endgame. Offering a 3.5-second sprint to 62 miles an hour, a top speed of 145 miles an hour, and 250 miles of range, the e-tron is a near-perfect fit for billionaire playboy philanthropist Tony Stark, and a far better fit than that, dare we say, ill-fitting Iron Man edition of the Hyundai Kona? Oh, shit. Hopefully we didn't just spoil the endgame.
Don't spoil the endgame.
Don't do it.
Don't spoil the endgame.
I'm watching you.
Don't spoil the endgame.
I'm watching you.
Seriously. Don't spoil the endgame.
Don't spoil the endgame! Well, we're as shocked as you are to learn that we've already come to the end of this week's edition, almost as if every automaker has breathed a collective sigh of relief after the madness of this month's barrage of auto shows. But, as always, we'll be back next week with all of the automotive news headlines out there rolled into one neat little package and served up by yours truly. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to get out there and celebrate Hemi Day in style.
It's Hemi Day!